Welcome back. This is episode 522 of the NYYST podcast. We're presented by NYY Underground. I am your host, Christian. And it didn't take long this year. The annual boon swoon has hit here before we even have to file our taxes. Usually we get 2 good months of Yankee baseball before the boon swoon hits, but here we are on April 12th, and the New York Yankees just moments ago dropped their fifth consecutive game, getting swept by the Tampa Bay Rays. They were once a 7-2 team. In fact, Chris was on the other side of the camera last week with me, and we talked about this team's hot start, but there were flaws that were being exposed in a Miami series, and then the Yankees proceeded to lose 5 in a row. They won the opener against Oakland, and then they have dropped the last 5 ball games. This offense has been nowhere to be found. If you want to blame somebody, blame Chris, okay? The Chrissy Jinx has struck again. He's not joined us this week. Maybe that's for the best, although I always love having my co-host with me, because the Yankees were 7-2. Chris pops on the pod, and the Yankees are now 8-7. So who do you want to blame for the New York Yankees hitting the boon swoon here early on in April? Well, there's a lot to blame here, and namely, number one, it's the offense, because the pitching has still been pretty good for the Yankees. Max Fried and Cam Schwitler gave up 3 runs apiece in their starts on Saturday and Sunday, respectively. Max was a lot sharper against against Tampa than he was in his previous outing. Still, after the Yankees fight and claw and scratch to get a lead late in the game, you can't be giving up a leadoff double in that situation. He does. Tampa ties the game, and we all know what happened. The Yankees were just all discombobulated after they took the lead in the 10th inning. They actually did a solid job scoring the ghost runner there. Jose Caballero had the game of his life, 3 RBI there. He saw Anthony Volpe in the dugout on Saturday, and he said, I don't think so, buddy. Even though Volpe's going to be starting his rehab assignment on Tuesday, I believe he said, and he's going to get about 55 at-bats before he gets activated. So that's, you know, a couple weeks here, and then we should be seeing Anthony Volpe. Look, it is what it is. We all knew Volpe was coming back. Jose Caballero has not played well enough to even make it a conversation, although he had a really good game on Saturday. It's not a conversation. Anthony Volpe's coming back. Anthony Volpe's going to be the shortstop, and maybe it leads to a spark, because right now you can't disagree with any maneuver of importing somebody that the Yankees want to do, because nobody on this team outside of Ben Rice has really been that good. I mean, Giancarlo Stanton's been okay. He's come down to earth a little bit here in this last week. But outside of Ben Rice, nobody's consistently been good at the plate for the New York Yankees. And we sat here last week and we broke down the lineup and we talked about where the flaws were. And today, Jazz gets that double in the second inning, and you had Randall Grichuk and J.C. Ascara batting 6-7 respectively, being an combined 0-for-21 to start the season. Who really thought that they were getting Jazz Chisholm in there? Nobody. I don't care. You could be the biggest cockeyed optimist, Yankee homer, drink all the Kool-Aid from the YPM. Even you couldn't sit there and tell me confidently you thought the Yankees were getting Jazz Chisholm in there. But as I said, the Yankees were all discombobulated after scoring the ghost runner on Saturday night, because it was, I might have this backwards, Mullins as the ghost runner and Simpson as the leadoff hitter. Is that how it was, or did I have it, or was it vice versa? Because with that speed combination, yeah, Mullins was a ghost runner, Simpson leading off. The Yankees are not fundamentally sound to deal with that. And we saw that on Saturday night. They were just not prepared for that to happen. David Bednar gives up the ghost runner and the go-ahead winning run, the first blown save of the year, without a ball even leaving the infield. What the Rays did this series was expose things that the Dodgers have been talking about with the Yankees for 2 years now. They don't play small ball well. They don't do the fundamentals well. And while I still believe the Yankees will finish ahead of the Rays over the course of 162, you saw again in this series about the blueprint, how to beat the Yankees. Put the ball in play, make them make plays. And what's added on top of that now is that the Yankees are not scoring runs. The Yankees last year led Major League Baseball in runs. That's why, even though run it back 26, I said, okay, they're still going to score enough runs. They haven't scored runs. Look at the games that they've lost over the last week here. Five games in a row here that they've lost. Look at what their starting pitchers have done, and they've managed to lose these games. On the first, excuse me, the first game on Wednesday here that started this streak, you had Will Warren, two runs over 4 2/3. They lost that game. Again, Warren threw, that game kind of got away from Warren a little bit with two outs in the fourth inning. Pitch count got up, and they got him out of there. But still, two runs by your starter, Yankees lose that game. And then for everybody that wanted to run Ryan Weathers out of town after his last start on the previous Saturday, he goes out there and he throws 8 innings of one-run ball against the A's. 8 innings of one-run ball. The Yankees lose that game. Luis Gil was, I'll give this one, Luis Gil not good on Friday night, making his season debut. He still though, 3 runs over four, walk three. Listen, this we saw it again with Luis Gil. This is the problem with Luis Gil. The biggest problem with Luis Gil, can't stay healthy. Talked about this a lot. There's a reason why a guy who made his major league debut in 2021 won the rookie of the year in 2024, because he didn't stay healthy. And then what happened in 2025? Didn't stay healthy. And then the Yankees said, hey, you know what? We got a new toy in Ryan Weathers. Let's see what he's got. And we're going to actually reward Will Warren for being a guy that stayed healthy all last year. Luis Gil, you wait your turn. And again, what happened to Luis Gil? He walked three batters, hit another one. Those are free passes that came around to score, the majority of them. Again, and when the Yankees are in a deep, deep offensive funk, you cannot be giving away free base runners like Luis Gil tends to do. So before we get back to Luis Gil, and then yesterday, on Saturday night, you got a much sharper Max Fried on the mound against the Tampa Bay Rays. The Yankees lose this game when Max Fried gives up 3 earned over 8 innings. Okay, what you did, again, I did not like this out of Max Fried. There's certain responsibilities that come along with being an ace, okay? There just are. Fair or unfair, there are certain responsibilities that come along with being an ace. The Yankees have had trouble this last week scoring runs. Max Fried gets a lead going into the eighth inning. Jose Caballero comes up with the two RBIs in the top half of the inning. Immediately, leadoff double. Can't happen. That run comes around the score. He holds it down there. Maybe the Yankees can steal a win there. Again, not killing Max Fried. I love Max Fried. It was a big start from him, trying to limit the amount of guys that were coming out of that bullpen. But again, you're the ace. You have a lead in the eighth inning. You're telling the manager, I can get this guy. It doesn't matter that it was I think that was Diaz again. And then look at what Yandy Diaz did in this series. Was it sexy? No. Two hopper to first base in the first inning of Sunday's game. But you know what it does? Scores runs in run scoring situations. The Yankees don't do that. But again, your ace gives you 3 over 8. You lose the game. You shouldn't be losing that game. Again, Kim Schlittler, they hammered this point home 1,000 times early on in this game that Kim Schlittler is a predominantly fastball pitcher. We all know this. And the Rays had the best average against fastballs in baseball, over 320 coming to the game. They get Cam for 3 runs early. He settles in, 3 over 5. Again, 1 walk, his first of the year. He strikes out 8. Another 7 hits, not his best, okay? couple so-so performances back to back, but he gives you 3 over 5. You lose that one too. You lose 5 games in a row where none of your starters allowed more than 3 earned runs. You're supposed to be the offense wanted to give games where to start them. The worst absolutely being the Ryan Weathers start. Caught myself there. Almost said David. The Ryan Weathers start. I think some of yous owe Ryan Weathers an apology too, by the way. How ridiculous it was that we were trying to run Ryan Weathers out of baseball, out of the Bronx after 7 whole innings. And then he goes out there and he shuts the A's down one run over 8 innings. Just happens that the Yankees were getting no hit into the seventh because they're friggin' pathetic right now. So we'll go back to Luis Gil here. It's going to come a time here where the Yankees are going to get Carlos Rodon and Gerrit Cole back. Rodon before Cole. And Cole's going to throw 25 pitches to live hitters in A ball this week. So that's the first step to his for him going on a rehab. If you look, if everybody's healthy, when Gerrit Cole's ready to come back, you look at the guys in this rotation. The obvious choices to come out of the rotation are Ryan Weathers and Luis Gil. All right, sorry guys. I think we lost the connection there for a quick second. We should be good now. Okay, that's why we had a little bit of silence there, but we should be all right at the moment. These internet issues that I've been dealing with, the only thing worse than that is the Yankees offense. But as I was saying, you look at the guys in this starting rotation when Cole and Rodon are ready to come back, they're both healthy, everybody's healthy. There's two obvious choices here. It's Luis Gil and Ryan Weathers. And even if Ryan Weathers pitches well, he's got to come out of the rotation. The guy threw 38 innings last year. He's not going to be able to give the Yankees more than 70, 80. It's between 70 and 100 innings. So maybe he's the second guy to come out, and the Yankees build him up as much as they possibly can. And I think with his stuff, he'll translate really well into the bullpen. But just the fact that he hasn't pitched, that the Yankees are going to have to pull him out of the rotation at some point, use him as a weapon out of the bullpen. So it's not really a merit-based thing with him. It's a numbers-based thing with him, okay? Then you look at the other two guys that are going to come out of this. It's either Luis Gil or Will Warren. And for me, it's going to be I'm going to give this spot to Will Warren. The guy was healthy last year. The guy's been more dependable and more reliable than Luis Gil. The problem with Luis Gil, you'd love to say with his fastball and a slider combination that you can stick him in the bullpen, use him as a maybe not the high leverage, but a higher leverage situation in the bullpen. But again, we talked about this. The guy doesn't throw enough strikes, and that's a problem. So I don't know what the Yankees are going to do with Luis Gil when he has to come out of the rotation. Because if you look, you say, oh, you just do it because maybe Gil's better as a starter than he would be as a reliever. Well, Will Warren's stuff is not reliever stuff. And you can't waste Will Warren in the bullpen for like long relief situations. The guy's already built up. He made 33 starts last year through 160 innings. There's no reason, unless he just completely gets bombed for the next couple of starts here, where you have to say it's performance-based, but I don't think that's going to happen to Will Warren, really. So it really just comes down to what are you going to do with him when it comes time for him to come out of the rotation? And if you look at it, He's probably a trade candidate, which would be the Yankee thing to do, to trade him now when his value's probably at the lowest it's been, when you could have definitely got a lot more for him coming out of the Rookie of the Year campaign in 2024. But that's the way the Yankees are operating right now. Not the smartest. What do we always say on this show? Smart or Yankees? So the starting pitching hasn't been a problem. The bullpen is still an issue. Okay. We've seen that. The Yankees, I really do. I still love David Bednar. I think he's going to be a net positive for the Yankees, but he allows way too many guys on base, and you really can't blame him for what happened on Saturday night. The ball never left the infield. He gives up two runs. That's poor defense. That's poor fundamentals more than it is anything. And it all comes down to one man. That's Aaron Boone. That's an Aaron Boone-led team right there, right there, right there, right there. And I said right there like five times because it's right there. Once again, he loves to say, it's right in front of us. Well, there it is. There's the bubble-blowing buffoon right in front of you, right there. I can't imagine with the talent that the Yankees have had run through here since 2018, that a different manager doesn't get more out of this club than what Aaron Boone has. I can't imagine that it doesn't happen. That somebody doesn't get more out of the Yankees than Aaron Boone has. And the Boone swoon is hit the second week of April this year. The Yankees usually build themselves up for two good months here, where they're near 20 games over, where then the Boone swoon hits, and then they can sustain it until they right the ship sometime in August. But here it is, second week of April. The Yankees are going to have to figure this out quickly, okay? Because the Yankees were in a situation here at 7-2, where you had the Rays are 8-7. The Orioles are 8-7. And your two biggest competitors in the division, Toronto 6-9, Boston 5-9. They could have built a real nice cushion for themselves. Instead, they go and drop five in a row, and now they're in a three-way tie for first place. It's not what you want. And I said that exactly like that because Joe Girardi's in the booth this week, and who I love, Joe Girardi. I think he does an excellent job, but everything out of his mouth was YPM spin about Jazz's swing path, about this guy and where he hits the ball. And yeah, nobody cares. It's about results. And this team is not hitting enough right now. I alluded to it earlier. Jazz Chisholm, one of the best struck balls he's had all season long. Yankees are down 1-0. Maybe they can tie the game quickly and get back into this game. You have Grichik in. Escara batting back to back 0 for 21 to start the season. But don't worry, guys, it got better because Ryan McMahon hits 097 on the season, who entered Saturday's game with a negative, which I didn't even know was possible. A negative OPS plus. Yankees make a little bit of noise late in Sunday's game. Rasmussen comes out of the game. They get two runs to cut it to 3-2. Naturally, the bullpen gives the two runs back. Now it's 5-2. Judge gets the home run. It's 5-4 now. But then Belly strikes out. You get the out from the next batter from Jazz. And then you get Rosario who rips the ball. Mullins misplays it. Probably should have been caught. He hit it hard though. You get man at second, two outs. They walk Wells because they know they have the worst hitter in baseball coming up. You're not gonna, you don't, nobody wants to walk the go-ahead run on base in the ninth inning, but it's Ryan McMahon. I'm not joking when I say this. I'm coaching my daughter's T-ball softball team, okay? I got 12 girls out there, 5 to 6 years old, that are learning the fundamentals of how to play the game. And I would rather see one of them up, one of my Lady Hornets up in that situation than Ryan McMahon. And what does McMahon do? First pitch, doesn't even try to advantageous position. Nope, we grounded the first. I see him standing there. My initial thought is just stay there until the grounds crew comes out and ask him if they're hiring. We don't need you coming back on the bus, buddy. We don't need you getting back on the plane to the Bronx here. Just really atrocious play from Ryan McMahon. He's become unplayable. He really has. And he's not going anywhere. Oh, they'll DFA him. That's what fans are saying. Oh, they'll DFA him. Really? When they owe him $32 million? And the fact that they're paying DJ LeMahieu this year because they DFA'd him last year probably cost the Yankees something that they needed to win this year. You think that they're going to add another whatever $10 million? It's going to it plus it, carry that salary on as a dead cap number essentially into 2027 when they might actually have a cap? Not happening. Sorry to break everybody's delusions on that one. Ain't happening. The other thing I want to talk about here, I'm not going to get on Jazz Chisholm. I can't do it. I'm not going to do it. I just want everybody with a brain in their heads to understand now when I was on such a crusade, excuse me, to trade him in the offseason, why? He came off terribly in the post game yesterday, okay? Just absolutely terribly. You watch that game on Saturday night. The swing is as long as I've ever seen it. I haven't seen his swing be that long, probably since the 2024 World Series when he's trying to play hero ball. But that's Jazz Chisholm. I don't need to talk to you guys anymore about what I want to see about out of Jazz Chisholm. But watching the swings from Jazz Chisholm last year, and Girardi can come up with any stats that he wants, any numbers that he wants. I got these things right here. These are called eyeballs. They work pretty well. Not as well as they used to, but they still work pretty well. That swing is long, and it's the bat is lazy through the zone. And it's no wonder why he pops everything up or completely misses everything. You don't need to be a hitting guru to notice these things. And then 12 hours later, or 15, whatever the number is, after Jazz comes off like a dope in the postgame interview, Boone says, "Oh, I'll talk to him." You should have talked to him last night. But this is what we're talking about here with Aaron Boone. Address these problems as they happen, not, "Oh, I'll talk to him." You know, we'll have a chat with our hot cocoa and cupcakes on the plane ride back to New York. No, it should have been handled last night, or it should have been handled. You knew of it when you met the media on Sunday morning. You should have talked to him before you met the media. But no, hot cocoa and cupcakes. Jazz, you know, this is the rule. Don't come, you know, I told everybody that you're not dumb, so please don't come off so dumb next time, okay? Please, please, do you need some extra whipped cream in your hot cocoa? My God. I can't, bro. I love this team too much to sit here and watch it just be devastated by a bubble-blowing buffoon year after year after year. Then you got Randall Grichuk up as the potential go-ahead run. This is what I really want to talk about. The potential go-ahead run on Friday night. Now, the Yankees had nowhere to go on the bench at that point. I understand that. But you're telling us that Jason Dominguez has got to play every day in Scranton. But this is what you're giving us on the major league level when you're trying to win a World Series this year. Compounded by the fact that it happened again in the ninth inning on Saturday with Paul Goldschmidt on the bench. Now you could have actually made a move and you chose not to. Righty, righty, okay? Who's the better hitter? Who's going to give you a better chance in that position, in that situation, to go and get a big hit and score some runs and win a baseball game? And when you guys want to blame Hal Steinbrenner for the Yankees not winning since 2009, it's not the money, guys. It's not. It's never been. I was listening to Mike Vaccaro, the owner, but the transition to Hal, and it really gave you what he said on the podcast, gave you a very interesting perspective about Hal as an owner. He does care. He's not his dad. That's not his personality. It's not his style. He wants to win. The problem, what holds him back as an owner and the Yankees back as a team, is he's fiercely loyal, which in some situations is really a good trait in people. And when you own a baseball team, it's a very bad trait to have it sometimes. That he has not gotten rid of Brian Cashman when Brian Cashman has completely mismanaged the money that is put into this baseball team year after year after year. And that Brian Cashman is the one that won't get rid of the bubble blowing buffoon. Oh, nothing's going to change until I know that. We've been saying that here longer before you guys could put those words together in a sentence. Okay. Of course, nothing's going to change. Brian Cashman is gone. But tell me that you couldn't get somebody else in here just to try something different because this is not working. It's okay. So continue to tell us that Jason Dominguez, who's scorching the ball in AAA just like we all thought he would, needs to play every day. Excuse me. When you got Randal Grichuk, while you're in the middle of an offensive funk, five losses in a row, Randal Grichuk up at the plate 2 days in a row in the ninth inning as a potential go-ahead run. And then you need to tell me, you got the balls to tell me, tell the fan base that Jason Dominguez has got to play every day. That's why he can't be on the major league roster. What a joke. Because I'm looking at Trent Grisham, I'm looking at a guy who doesn't need to be playing every day. And we know Giancarlo Stanton got the day off on Sunday, planned day off. We know he's not going to play more than 3 days in a row. You can find ways to get Jason Dominguez in this lineup 3 or 4 times a week. You don't want to. Because sitting Trent Grisham admits failure. We all know the Yankees can't do that. Look, guys, I don't want to be on here forever. I don't want to waste all yours times. I don't want to waste my time here because the Yankees, what we've seen this last week has been disgusting, okay? You go from 7-2 to 8-7. You can't score runs. You're losing to teams that you should be beating. Although credit to the A's, man, they went into New York because they went into Citi Field after they faced the Yankees. They won 5-6 against the Yankees and the Mets. I didn't have that one on my bingo card, but credit to them. Still, the Yankees should have found a way to win another game in that series. Still, the Yankees should have found a way to win 2 games down in Tampa. It gets late really quickly when you're losing games you should win. And now the Yankees went out there and their pitching was getting their doors blown off and they're losing games 9-7. I don't sit there and say, well, these are games the Yankees probably should have won. When the starting pitching is still going out there doing their jobs, none of them in this 5-game stretch have allowed more than 3 runs. I'm looking at missed opportunities here. And again, that's tell me all you want. It's April. How many less losses did the Yankees have than Toronto last year? Oh, they had zero. They had the same amount of losses. Oh, so you mean any one single game over 6 months could have changed the outcome of the Yankee season in 2025? Don't play in the wild card series. Okay? That's a big thing right there. Maybe you missed Toronto. That's a big thing right there too. But it's just April. Just April. You look at this lineup, and you should not really be that surprised it's having trouble scoring runs because of the names in this lineup. But fair or unfair, the biggest reason right now, and I know he had a home run in the ninth inning today, and he had a line drive in the eighth, late in the game on Saturday, and he's been hitting the ball. I mean, he's drawn his walks here in the last couple of games, so maybe he's coming around here. Fair or unfair, The biggest reason for the New York Yankees struggling offensively is Aaron Judge. I am a guy that's going to come on here more times than not and defend Aaron Judge. And again, as we sit here on April 12th, am I worried about Aaron Judge? No, I'm not worried about him in the slightest. He will come around. He will be Aaron Judge. He will most likely be the MVP again in the American League in 2026. So I'm not worried about him. But the reason why the Yankees are struggling offensively right now is because Aaron Judge has not gotten off to a hot start this season. He's had his struggles at the plate. And as I've said numerous times here, when Aaron Judge is not Aaron Judge, do the Yankees have the weapons in this lineup to sustain that? Because we've talked about this. When Aaron Judge is no longer Superman, how do the Yankees make up for that difference? And you're witnessing it right now. He has not been Superman. He's been a mere mortal to start the season through these first 15 games. And the Yankees don't have the pieces in this lineup to make up for a mortal Aaron Judge. So you look back at 2024, and I've brought this up in the past too, where he got off to a really bad start until that second game in Milwaukee, and then things really took off for Aaron Judge. The difference between then and now is the Yankees had another superstar in the lineup in Juan Soto to cover for Aaron Judge until he became Aaron Judge. The Yankees don't have that right now. They have a bunch of guys that can fill roles in a lineup with Superman when he's Superman. And when he's not, they don't have what it takes to fill those roles to come above and beyond and help him out when he needs help. So, again, fair or unfair, until Aaron Judge turns that corner and becomes the two-time reigning MVP and be a guy, if it wasn't for terrible voting in 2017 and a wall in 2023, should be a four-time MVP. Until he becomes that guy, we are more than likely going to see these types of offensive performances out of the New York Yankees. And when you're Aaron Judge, as much as I hate to put the blame solely at his feet on the field, when you are that guy, it's your responsibility to make sure this offense does what it needs to do to score enough runs to win ball games. And so far through 2026, he's not been that guy. And it's all, again, it's only 15 games. I'm not worried about him at all. But if you want to look for a reason why the Yankees aren't scoring runs, it's because Aaron Judge has not gotten off to the start that we expect him to get off to. Again, drawing a couple walks here in Saturday and Sunday's game, so maybe he's seeing the ball better. He had the home run in the ninth inning, so maybe he's seeing the ball better. He had that ball that he hit 108 miles an hour and 398 feet that you give me those stats. I'm not expecting him to take a U-turn back to the dugout, but he did the other night on Saturday night. So maybe things are starting to turn the corner for Aaron Judge, and they're going to be coming home here. The temps are going to be in the 80s. I know Josh Chisholm's jumping for joy for that one. Can't play below 50 degrees. Probably why he's got a 170 career postseason batting postseason batting average. So hopefully the ball's going to be flying out of Yankee Stadium, and this is the week in the series here against the Angels where the Yankees start to turn the corner offensively. But again, I don't want to. You hate to do it because when you're paying Cody Bellinger like a superstar and you have Giancarlo Stanton in the lineup and you decided to pay Trent Grisham $22 million and you have Ben Rice who's gotten off to a hot start, it shouldn't be all on Aaron Judge. But as you've seen once again, if Aaron Judge is not Superman, they don't have the supporting cast to cover him. And in 2024, when he got off to that horrific start through the first 25-ish games of the year, and his OPS was under 600 or whatever it was, when he was really bad until he started to come around in that second game against Milwaukee, they had Juan Soto, who was flying out of the gates that year. They don't have that second superstar. They're paying Cody Bellinger like a second superstar, and I love Cody Bellinger, you guys know that, but he's not the second superstar on this team. They don't have it right now. They don't have the guy to make up the difference for Aaron Judge. That's a problem. Because let's say he has a mortal year, which for him is probably going to. Because look at it like this, guys. He's got four home runs through 15 games. Four. So let's do a little quick math on that. If he plays all 162, That's still a f he's still look at this. This is how good the guy is. We think he's having a bad year. He's on a 43 home run pace. But that's a mortal year for Aaron Judge. So we talked about the bullpen being the biggest issue for this. And before we did Bronx or Nowhere on Thursday, we looked at the numbers of what George Lombard did through the first five games of the season. You know what? And I got a little bit of pushback, but a lot of people were also agreeing. I said on social media, call him up. Not to the Yankees, not to the major leagues, because he's only in Double A right now. Call him up to Triple A. Let him continue his development there. This way, towards the trade deadline, if he's still hitting the really well down in Triple A, maybe he becomes an option here for the Yankees, and he can provide a spark offense. Thing. They're going to have to import some sort of offense here. And is it going to be behind the plate? Probably not. Although JC Escar's got to go. Got to go. Ben Rice will be fine. No issues there. Jazz is going to be, I'm sure he'll come around. The weather's going to get warmer and he'll he than what he's shown so far this year. It's going to come at short and third. And with what they're paying McMahon and their devotion to Volpe, can you do you even trust them of making that type of maneuver? And then the outfield set with the money you have invested in it. And I'm sure you know, I'm sure you're gonna get the production that you want out of Judge and Bellinger anyway. But they need to import some offense into this team. Offensively here in the next week, they're back home after they had a just a quick and atrocious three-game road trip in Tampa because the weather is going to start heating up here in the Northeast. We're going to see temps near 90 through parts of this week here. So hopefully, as the weather heats up, so do the Yankees' bats. It's going to be a four-game set against the Los Angeles Angels at Anaheim. Monday, 7:05, Yusef Kikuchi against Will Warren. Tuesday, 7:05, Reed Detmers against Ryan Weathers. And then you got TBD against Luis Gil, 7:05 on Wednesday. And then Max Fried against TBD, 1:35, series ender. My 10-year wedding anniversary, too, on Thursday. Can't believe that. It was a quick 10 years. Quick 10 years right there, fellas. Max Fried will be back on the mound. That's another thing, man. You had Fried and Schwitler going in this series, and you get swept. Should never happen. But what should happen is that, bang, if you're not already, please hit subscribe on the very podcast platform you're listening to us on right now. This is the final, excuse me, my allergies are killing me right now. This is the final season of NYYST. We don't want you to miss any shows throughout the course of the season. So please hit that subscribe button and leave us a five-star rating and review. We'd love a little bit of love on the way out the door here in 2026. So please leave us a five-star rating and review. And make sure you are subscribed to NYY Underground on YouTube. The Bronx or Nowhere. Next episode will be live this Thursday covering the Angel series. We don't want you to miss that. And now, if you're up for it, please tell everybody we are still the Yankees official, or still the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. Easy for me to say. Again, guys, we love you so much, man. Thank you for the continued support as we roll through here on the final season of NYYST. We were hoping it was going to end in a championship. I know it's only 15 games, but it's pretty scary when the boom swoon hits before the tax man does. And that's where we are right now. So, as we said, warmer weather coming here this week in the Bronx, and hopefully that wakes up the bats and the Yankees can get back on their winning ways here. So we love you guys. Thank you so much for listening to episode 522, and I will see you next time.